them. Guys, ready for the Word of God? So we're getting ready. We're heading in towards that season. I thought something looked different. Yeah, now I can see you guys. So we're heading into that season of Easter. And as we head into that season of Easter, that's a time that we're going to be celebrating the greatest single moment in the history of all human events. I mean, just think about it. When the Son of God himself gives up his life, lays down his life to pay the price for all sin, and then he rose from death to life so that all who would believe would have eternal life with him. It's a great moment we're going to be celebrating, and we're heading towards that. And of course, the sacrificial work of Jesus and the shedding of his blood, of course, that was all foreshadowed for us in the book of Exodus. And in the book of Exodus, remember, it's when death passed over the houses of all the Israelites who had put the sacrificial blood, they'd put the blood of the sacrifice lambs on their doorposts and on the lintels of their houses. And so death passed over their houses, but death passed through the homes of the Egyptians and took the lives of all of the firstborn in the homes of the Egyptians. Not just the humans, but even the animals as well. This is what it says in Exodus chapter 12, verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. Now we know that Jesus himself celebrated the Passover with his disciples. He celebrated the Passover on the evening before he gave himself as the perfect sacrifice lamb for all who would receive him. His blood was shed, his body was scourged, they hung him on a cross, and he gave his life as that perfect sacrifice. Now, if you look at the book of Exodus, Exodus gives very specific instructions to the people of God. And Exodus tells the people of God that they would observe and they would remember the Passover for how long? Forever. This is the instructions from the Word of God, to remember, to observe and remember the Passover forever. In fact, just one verse after we just read, Exodus chapter 12, verse number 24. And you shall observe this thing, the Passover, as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. And we also know that Jesus told his disciples, and you and I are his disciples today, Jesus told his disciples that they were to remember the shedding of his blood and the new covenant that the shedding of his blood established. So every time that we participate in communion, we are honoring what Jesus has requested us to do, to remember those things. We're all familiar with this. This is 1 Corinthians 11:25. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So we can see that God told his people, the Hebrews, that they were to remember the Passover forever. And even Jesus is telling us to remember these things. It's important for us to remember these things. So while we will be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ on Resurrection Sunday, it's also important for us, we're called to remember the Passover. The Passover, which takes place just prior to Easter Sunday and Resurrection Sunday. The Passover. It is that time that led to the Israelites, the people of God. It is that moment that led to them being brought into deliverance out of their bondage in Egypt. Now, the book of Exodus, it is foundational for us to understand the faithfulness of God and the power of God to deliver his people. God delivered his people, the Israelites, from out of the harsh, cruel bondage in Egypt. And you and I, we know as believers, we understand that Jesus has delivered us out of the harsh and cruel bondage of sin. But I wonder if we fully understand the message of freedom that is revealed to us by the Passover and by the resulting deliverance out of bondage from Egypt. Because as Americans, we relish, we are zealous about our freedom. Amen. But I think sometimes our Americanized understanding of freedom limits limits our understanding of spiritual freedom. See, we view the book of Exodus through the lens of people who have lived their entire lives in freedom. We wake up every day, we don't even give it a second thought. We just expect that freedom. The Jews, however, they've lived very few years. It's been very rare that they have lived as a people in total freedom over the centuries and over the millennium. So I think there's something that we can learn about spiritual freedom if we will view it through the perspective of the Jews. So a few years ago, I went through a course that was called Introduction to Judaism. It was taught by a Jewish professor. And there's one line that stuck out that I wanted to share with you today, but I want to read it to you directly, the quote. He said, "Why then is there nowhere in the Hebrew Bible a word like liberty or freedom? Why then is there nowhere in the Hebrew Bible a word like liberty or freedom?" Okay, that quote got my attention, and I remember that through the years. It's interesting, I found it interesting because if you just think about it, it's interesting to me that the Bible that we read, so the Hebrew version of what we would know as the Old Testament, it's interesting that the Hebrew version, according to what he said, this is a scholar, a Hebrew scholar, a Jewish scholar, according to what he said, nowhere in the Hebrew Bible, nowhere are the words freedom and liberty written. Now, that was also puzzling to me because when I read through the Old Testament, you know, just in the New King James, I see that liberty is referred to 8 times and freedom is referred to 2 times. So that made me wonder, what am I missing here? Well, the Jewish rabbis, they tell us, they say, both old, you have to remember, rabbinical teaching and rabbis, their teaching is passed down from generation to generation to generation. So when we talk about a lot of rabbinical teaching, a lot of it comes from years past. Now, there's always ongoing. But rabbis tell us that the Hebrew word for freedom is herut. And they say that the word herut does not appear anywhere in the Hebrew Bible. They say that the word that you and I read as freedom and liberty, that is the word ha-root. So it's the same consonants, just different vowels. Now remember, I've told you this before. One of the great things, and I don't know much about Hebrew, but the more I study the language and the more that I learn, it just shows me the Hebrew language is a very expansive, it's elastic. It can be stretched to cover a lot of things. And that's really cool because so much of the Hebrew language is tied together and it covers everything. It's awesome. But also remember this. So the rabbis, when they say these things, remember that the rabbis, when going back in time, when they were reading the word from the scrolls, there was no vowels. It was only consonants in the scrolls that they were reading. Only vowels, no consonants. So, different vowels give you different words. So the rabbis, when they say that the word that you are reading is harut, well, what they identify as harut, it can also be the word herut. So what they say is harut can also be what we would say is freedom. It's just where they choose what vowel they choose to put into that word. That tells me that the ancient Hebrew texts designed by God to bring together similar words to give us one clarified definition, meaning, and understanding. Everybody still with me? So if the Hebrew word for freedom is herut, then what does the word harut, which they identify as being, what does that word, which is tied to herut, what does it mean? The word harut means engraved. So freedom is tied to engraved. Now that's really interesting because harut, engraved, is the exact word, the precise word that is used in the Bible to describe the commands of God that God wrote on those stone tablets of the Ten Commandments. So when you're talking about freedom and you're talking about being tied together with engraving, this is talking about the Word of God itself. Freedom and engraved tied together. This is what it said in Exodus chapter 32, verse 16. Now the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God engraved on those tablets. That word tablets that you see there, that's the Hebrew word ushot. Ushot does mean tablets, but this is Hebrew. This is not just me. This is Hebrew. You can look this up. The word ushot means tablets, but it was also used by the Jews metaphorically to mean hearts. Well, that makes sense to us because today we do know, we understand that the Word of God is now written on these tablets, the hearts of those who believe. Jeremiah expresses this to us. Jeremiah 31, 33. But this is the covenant that I make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put the law in their minds and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. Listen. The Hebrew language itself, listen to this, the Hebrew language itself is telling us that true freedom is not just physical freedom. True freedom is not just being released from bondage. You can be released from being a slave. You can be released from jail and still not be free. True freedom comes from having the Word of God written on your hearts. Amen. And when we have the Word of God written in our hearts, then we can start to fully appreciate, walk in, and understand spiritual freedom. And then the Bible tells us that as a free people, Jesus tells us this through Peter, that as a free people, this is how we are to serve Him. This is how we are to live for Him, for Jesus. 1 Peter 2:16. Live as a free people, yet without employing your freedom as a pretext for wickedness. But live at all times as a servant of God. Let's build upon that. As Americans, we do relish our freedom. But as Americans, we view freedom as being free from oppression. We view it as having the right to make our own decisions, to make our own choices in our lives on a daily basis. Now, while that's correct, that is not a complete understanding of spiritual freedom. And this is why it's important for us to really start to understand spiritual freedom through the lens or through the perspective of the Jews and their Jewish perspective on it. According to the rabbis, God did not deliver His people. Well, let me put it this way. God delivered His people from their bondage in Egypt, not only for them to be free from oppression. So let me say that again, but say it correctly. So the rabbis say that God's deliverance of His people from bondage in Egypt was not only for the purpose of delivering them from oppression. Now, that's basically the totality of our definition of freedom. That's what we would say freedom is. But the rabbis tell us that that's not the only thing that God did. That's not the only part of freedom. They tell us that in addition to setting them free from oppression, freedom was also given by God so that the people were free to dedicate themselves to something else. They were given freedom so that they could dedicate their very lives to God in service to Him. And it makes sense just based on what we saw that Jesus said through Peter. Let me look at Peter again. The end of that says, but live at all times as servants of God. So the rabbis teach us that God delivered the Israelites out of bondage, not just to free them from oppression, but so that they would be free to serve Him. From the Jewish perspective, it was not freedom from something, it was freedom to something. Not freedom from something, which is our perspective, it's freedom from something so that we have freedom to something. And that is what is missing so often in our understanding of freedom, certainly our understanding of spiritual freedom. We live in a fallen world, and so we're going to be bound to something. We're either going to be bound to the things of this world and thus serving the world, or we're going to be bound to Jesus Christ and serving in righteousness. This is what it says in Romans Chapter 6, verse number 18. And having been set free from sin, thank you, Jesus, you become the servants of righteousness, of conformity to the divine will in thought, purpose, and action. Amen. We have been set free from the bondage of sin. Set free from the bondage of sin, we are now free to serve Jesus Christ, and we serve Jesus Christ, sharing in His divine will. I don't think I read that. Let me read that part of the verse again. Righteousness is a conformity to the divine will and thought, purpose, and action. So we are free to serve Him, and we serve Him in His divine will and with His divine thoughts, which means we have His peace, which is in us at all times. His peace is within us. But we have to make sure that we keep ourselves free from the entanglements of the world. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. We need to understand the freedom that we have, but we need to understand entirely what spiritual freedom is. So therefore, in the liberty which by Christ He has made you free, and do not be entangled again by the yoke of bondage. We need to make sure that we do not get ourselves caught up again and again and again in the yoke of bondage. God delivered His people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Are you tired of Hebrew yet? Okay, good. Because the Hebrew name for Egypt is Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim means this. When the Israelites talked about Egypt, this is what they meant. Mitzrayim means to be bound and to be constricted. It means to bind up and besiege. Besiege was kind of a strange word, but not when you think about it. In ancient times, when you would besiege a city, you would surround the city so that nothing could get in and nothing could get out. That means nobody could escape, but it also means as time goes by, you wear them down because they lose food, they lose water. They get sick, they get ill, they die. Mitzrayim, Egypt, for the Israelites, means to be bound, to be besieged. But it also means this. It means double distress and double siege. The people of God were then and are still now continually being beaten down and deprived of their freedom, both physical and spiritual, across the world today. When we submit ourselves to the things of the world, we put ourselves in bondage to the world. We put ourselves there. And when we put ourselves in bondage to the world, we become besieged. Our freedom, our spiritual freedom even, becomes besieged because it's assaulted by the things of the world again and again and again. And as we are besieged in our spiritual freedom and under that assault, that's when people start to get disappointed. That's when they get discouraged. That's when they get depressed. And that's when they get hopeless. And when people get to that point in their lives, that's an open door for Satan, and he moves in and he doubles down. He will doubly seed you and put you in double distress. Now, this truth is so necessary and required for us to understand now and today. Just this past week, just on Monday, I was talking to a man that has been a friend of mine for years, and he was talking to me about a family member who was a believer in Jesus Christ, but had taken their own life just this past week. That was on Monday. On Tuesday, I talked to someone else who was telling me about someone in their family who's a believer in Jesus Christ and was speaking about taking their own life. It's when we yield ourselves, it's when we allow the world to put us in that kind of bondage. This is why it's so important to understand the concept of Passover and what it means for us. That's why it's important for us to understand exactly what happened when God delivered his people out of bondage. We need to understand these concepts so that we can not only make sure that we walk in that spiritual freedom, so we do not become discouraged and distressed, and even when negative things or bad things happen in our lives, we have the spiritual freedom to listen to what the Holy Spirit says, speaks, and tells us, and we can strengthen ourselves in the Word and in Jesus Christ and overcome those things so we will never get to that place. But we need to teach that to others as well, because I'm telling you, it's not just the world where taking of life, taking of your own life is taking place. And this is something the Holy Spirit told me at the very start of the year, the very beginning of the year. I knew this was going to be a time of suicide and taking of lives. That tells you there's a lot of people that are out there that are at the place of distress, that are at the place of discouragement, that are at the place of hopelessness, even in the body of Christ. We need to be the light of Jesus Christ. We need to be the ones who are overcomers ourselves every day in our lives. We need to be overcomers so that we can help others be overcomers. You and I look at you people, and I know you know the Word of God. I know that you are passionate for the Word of God, and you are passionate for Jesus Christ. You don't realize the light of Jesus that you are. You think you do, but you don't realize the light of Jesus that you are. And you don't realize how rare you are and how necessary and required you are in the body of Christ today. Because people need to understand spiritual freedom. They need to understand their spiritual freedom, not from the perspective of what freedom means in the Americanized definition, but they need to understand their spiritual freedom according to the Word of God and the things that His Word shows us and lays out to us. I told Donna I had to edit some of these things because I had so many verses. I usually have like anywhere between 8 and 12 verses that I'll share, but I had so many verses, like, I'm not going to get any message in here because it's just going to be giving you guys a bunch of verses. But this just shows us how much the Bible has to reveal to us about this kind of freedom, the freedom that we have, the spiritual freedom and the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So what are the words that we see repeated again and again and again in the book of Exodus is the word go. How many times, numerous times, we see that Moses and Aaron say to Pharaoh, God has commanded you to let my people go. Even in God's instructions to Moses himself, God said to Moses, go to Pharaoh. Go is such a huge word and a huge part of Exodus. Exodus 10:1, now the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine before him. So the Hebrew word for go, another amazing and fascinating word, rich. The Hebrew word for go that we see every time you're, almost every time you're reading the word go in the book of Exodus, that Hebrew word means to go and to come. When you read the word go in Exodus, it means to leave and to enter in. It's not just leaving the place, it's leaving so you can enter in too. They leave so that they can enter. Jesus has called us to leave, to go, to leave the things of the world and to come, to enter in to the things of the kingdom of God. So we know that our lives is continually making sure that we are going from the things of the world, we're leaving the things of the world, and we are entering into the things of the kingdom of God. It is about going and coming. It is about leaving and entering. The word go in the book of Exodus is one of the most important words, Hebrew words, in that entire book. Now, with that understanding, let's consider, what did the Israelites, what was it like for them? How did they leave? How did they go? How did they leave from their bondage in Egypt into entering into their freedom that God had given them with their deliverance? How did they go and how did they come? How did they leave and how did they enter in? But we know that they followed the parameters. They followed the instructions that God gave them through Moses. So the first thing that they did is they slaughtered the Passover lambs. And then they took the blood of those sacrificial lambs and they put that blood on the doorposts and on the lintels of their house. And so death passed over the houses of them, and death entered into, it visited the houses of the Egyptians. And when it happened with all the Egyptians losing their firstborn, then Pharaoh said, came and said, go, go. And at midnight, the Bible tells us, at midnight, the Israelites were ready to go. They were dressed and prepared. They had their feet shod with their sandals. They had their belts fastened, and they had their staffs in their hand. They were prepared and ready to go. And the Bible tells us that they left their bondage in Egypt in haste, and they entered into their freedom in haste. There's a really valuable lesson that we can learn from that. Because God has called us, you and I, He's called us to leave the things of this world. He's called us to leave, to go, to leave out of our Egypt the things of the world. So we're wise if we will learn this lesson from the Israelites. And leave with haste, but let's enter in to the things He has for us. Let's enter in with deliberate, certainly with haste, but with deliberateness. Because this is the mistake that the Israelites made. When they were delivered out of bondage in Egypt, they were set free. Their bodies were set free, but their minds, their souls were not. They had not yet learned that freedom means to be moved from a state of serving one thing, the world, moves from that state of serving one thing, to the state of serving another. Their freedom to serve God. We are called to leave the things of the world in haste, but we need to be deliberate in entering into the things of the kingdom of God. We need to be deliberate in spending time with Him, in our personal time with Jesus Christ and in the Word of God. We need to be deliberate in entering into our service for Him. The Israelites, they left with haste and they entered into their freedom. They entered in with haste, but not with wisdom. They entered in with haste, but not wisdom. And so what happened to them? Well, when they are out there in the wilderness and those wilderness days got really difficult and really challenging, what do we see from the Israelites again and again and again? They continually want to return. They continually want to go back into their bondage in Egypt. That's hard for us to even fathom, but it's what they said again and again. And it's really forceful in the book of, hold on, Numbers chapter 14, verses 3 and 4. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. That's stunning, but it teaches us something. They entered in with haste and without wisdom. We need to enter into the things of God with haste, but with deliberateness as well. We need to make sure that we are deliberate to spend time growing and maturing in Jesus Christ. Because if we don't spend that time and we don't invest that time, then when the difficulties of this life and the struggles of this life come, we are going to look to return to the world just like they did. You think that you won't, but it's the human condition. It's the human mindset. It's the way of the flesh. You know, Proverbs tells us, you don't have this, Donald, but Proverbs tells us, I forget where, I think it's chapter 19, I'm not sure. But Proverbs says, as a dog returns to its vomit, so does the fool return to his folly. It is the way of the flesh. It's the way of man. It's the way, the natural way of man. So in Exodus, we learn that we are to leave, we are to go, we are to leave the things of the world, and we are to come, we are to enter into the kingdom of God and the things of His kingdom. Exodus tells us, go and come. But in the book of John, when Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead, we get a reversal of go and come. Notice as I read these verses, notice that the order is changed from come to go. This is John chapter 11, verses 43 and 44. Now when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Come and go. We are told to go and come. Now we're reading come and go. Interesting, because things have changed. Now we are living under the new covenant in Jesus' blood. Now we are living in the church age, and we're living very close to the end of the church age. And God has called each one of us to be his priests, to be his kings, to be his ambassadors, to be those who serve him. He's called us to be these things. And Jesus himself tells us that we will do even greater things than he did. We'll do even greater things than these. So Jesus has brought us. He has called us and he has brought us out of the things of the world. So we have come out of the things of the world and we are to enter into the things of the kingdom of God. But as people, as his people today, because we live, things are now turned the other way around. Now we are also, we've got a responsibility. He brings us out, but now we need to be the ones that bring others out. We're the ones who are supposed to bring others. We're the ones who are supposed to help others come out of the world and go forth into the kingdom of God. And if you think that I'm reading into this verse and trying to shoehorn it into my topic, not at all. Because I want you to look at two key words here, the word come and the word go in this verse. And you'll see that the underlying message which is being spoken to us is saying just this. Because the word go, I'm sorry, the word come, when he says, "Lazarus, come forth," that word come means to make an urgent call. It's an urgent call. And the word go that's there, that word go means in part, it means to lead and to bring under. So you and I, if we understand our spiritual freedom, if we understand our spiritual freedom in Jesus Christ, then we understand that we have moved into a state of serving Jesus Christ. So you and I, we are the ones who are to call. We're to make that urgent call to those who are right now out there still bound up, still wrapped up in their grave clothes, still wrapped up and bound by the trappings of this world. And we are the ones who are not just to make that urgent call, we're the ones who are to lead them, to bring them under the blood of Jesus Christ, just as the Israelites came under the blood of the sacrificed lamb on that night when death passed over them. This is understanding our spiritual freedom. If we understand our spiritual freedom, then we understand the power, the anointing, the authority that we have in Jesus. But we also understand that he's given us this freedom. Not just freedom from the things of the world, but freedom to the things of the kingdom of God so that we can serve him. And this is what our job is, to serve him. Passover is coming up in just a few weeks. And we are told, I saw that we showed you this at the beginning, from both Exodus and Jesus, we are told to remember the Passover. How will we remember it? Well, first of all, let's remember it first of all, with a thankful heart, thanking Jesus for the salvation that we have by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the second way we remember this is by serving him and helping to bring others under the blood of Jesus Christ. Passover was a foreshadow of what Jesus would do for us, the shedding of his blood and the victory that he gave us in his resurrection. Now, with that in mind, I want you to hear this verse. This is from Isaiah. Well, verses. This is what Isaiah said. It ties into this. Isaiah chapter 52, verses 10, 11, and 12. "The Lord has made bare his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, revealing himself as the one by whose direction the redemption of Israel from captivity is accomplished. and all the ends of the earth shall witness the salvation of our God. The ends of the world will recognize this, but we've got a responsibility before Jesus Christ today to be the ones that help bring people to that understanding. Now, presently, depart, depart. Go out from here, the lands of the exile. Touch no unclean thing. We're not supposed to be entangled in the things of the world. Go out of the midst of her, Babylon. Cleanse yourself and be clean. We are cleansed. We are the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You who bear the vessels of the Lord on your journey from there. Now listen to this. For you will not go out with haste, nor will you go in flight, as was necessary when Israel left Egypt. For the Lord will go before you, and God of Israel will be your rear guard, as Jeremy shared with us today. So Israel left Egypt in haste. They had to leave in haste because Pharaoh was about to change his mind and pursue them once again. But you and I who are believers in Jesus Christ, you and I who walk in spiritual freedom, you and I, we don't have to run in haste from anything the enemy threatens you with. You don't have to run in haste because Jesus has gone before you and Jesus is your rear guard. So you and I, we can be deliberate in the time that we spend with Him, in our personal time with Him and our time in the Word of God. And we can be deliberate in our service to Him as we help bring others in under the of Jesus Christ. There is so much that Passover has for us that we haven't even looked at or considered. But think about these things and let the Holy Spirit just prepare us for these things as we look at Passover and get ready for resurrection, which it was a foreshadow of. Amen? Amen. Jesus, we thank you and praise you for your word. I thank you and I praise you for just continuing to reveal your truth to us. Your word always has so much to show us, and there's always so much depth that's there. We thank you for that. I thank you that as we leave this place, you're going to continue to bring us more revelation about these verses and about what you showed us for your deliverance of your people from their bondage in Egypt. And what you show us about the deliverance that you've given us from the bondages of this world. We are not bound by the things of this world, but we serve you, and we serve you with great joy and with great expectation. We thank you and praise you in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up and close in praise this morning.